We just thank you, Father, that we can, Lord, come to your word today. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may open my heart, our hearts, our minds, Lord, that we may be able to hear, be able to understand, be able to put it to work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have seen how Jesus defeated the enemy. And from that, he took back the authority that we had given to him. And as a consequence of that, now he was able to give it back to us and to put us in a place that we were at the beginning before the fall, if we are born again. Now it's our turn. It's the turn for us to use it. See, it's been his choice from the beginning to give that authority to us. We lost it because of submitting ourselves to the enemy. And Jesus conquered back that so that we can now operate the way we operated before, if we are born again. Now, we have to understand one thing, that God, the way God operates, if we go to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, says, you know, not temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, we also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, you know, this is probably one of the things that is said most about God. God is faithful. And we have to really see what is the meaning is of that word. What means that God is faithful? What, in which way he is faithful? Because, you know, if somebody is faithful, it really means that you can depend on that person. That when he says something, he's going to do it. And this is the way God is faithful. He says, he speaks, he gives his word. And he's always going to do exactly what he said he would do. This is why the promises of God are so important for us to understand. Because God is not faithful in the fact that we, whatever things we want, he's going to provide it. Whatever whim we have in our things, he's going to take care of. No, God is faithful in the sense that whatever he said he would do, so we can depend on him. This is, you know, it's the same thing, you know, saying that God is faithful and saying that the promises of God is yea and amen is the same thing. But, you know, it's something you, often you hear said, you know, well, you know, but don't know if they're not yea and amen. Well, either is, are yea and amen in promises or he is not faithful. And the truth is that he is faithful, and so you can depend on the things he promises. See, God is bound by his word. He cannot do things in contradiction to his word. Otherwise, he would not be faithful. People that talk about the sovereignty of God, they think that God can wake up one morning and do whatever he wants to do. God cannot do that. Because he has to be consistent within himself. And if he's not consistent with his word, he is going to be not faithful in all the things that he's doing contrary to what he said he would do. Are you following me? Yes. See, this is an important concept that is often missed by many people. But when, you know, if you miss on this point, how can you trust God about anything if you cannot trust him about what he said he would do? Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. See, in Oh, I before what I was I read the different scriptures. See, okay, what I read before was in Isaiah, was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Somebody should have told me. But anyway, the point is, now I'm going to read you Isaiah 55:11. This says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things which I send it for." You see, the thing is, this is saying the same thing to us. This is God's faithfulness that is manifested in what he said and is going to come to pass. His word is, we can depend and rely on his word because his word is truth, and his word is going to happen exactly the same way as he said it. This is his faithfulness. So when we go, see, this is important. We can see the importance for us to connect and to know his word, to understand what he's saying. It's not just what we want him to say or not what we want him to do. It's what, when he says something, we can count on that and we can depend on it, on our life. And that makes all the difference. This is the basis. You see, the word of God has the authority of God speaking in it. So when you talk about word, or talk about authority, or talk about the ability of God, of his faithfulness, you are talking about the same thing. It's important that even our faith is based on the fact of authority to understand. See, people that don't understand authority, then they have a very difficult time in exercising their faith. You see, the only thing you have to do to understand is that what God said is the authority of God speaking through that, is the power of God backing it up. And so when we start understanding authority, we are going to be able to connect with God in a way that is far superior to anything else. It's not just wishy or any thinking. You know, we had to really connect with his power, his authority, and the fact that the word is nothing else than the manifestation or the expression of that authority. Authority is expressed through words. See, when the police come and say stop, behind the stop there is just the authority of all the government. When God says stop, is his power behind that. Or when God says be healed, this is power is behind that. And when we say be healed and we talk in Jesus' name, his authority, you see, the name and the authority, Jesus' authority and Jesus' name are the same thing. So when we speak in his name, we just nothing else, like the policeman says, stop, when we say be healed, this is the same behind what we say is not us, it's not us saying, it's he is saying it through our mouth. And this, why we get results, is not because we are anything. It's not us, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. See, we can be channel of God's power and authority to implement God's plan. And this was the beginning from the his thoughts, his idea, his desire from the very beginning. Adam messed up, but Jesus restored. It's our turn now. And God can, he is bound by the fact that he has given us the authority. And so sometimes we expect God to do something when instead we had to do something. He's not going to do anything without our intervention. And because we are nothing else than the brothers, the manifestation today of the body of Christ. See, this is so important. See, if you remember in the gospel, In Matthew chapter 8, there are two times actually that this story is referring Luke to, but in Matthew chapter 8 is verse 8. So, you know, the centurion, the story of the centurion, you remember. You know, it says, you know, in answer and said to the Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come unto my roof, but to speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And he went to there. You know, just he understood, because he was operating in under authority himself. He was operating that way. So he could connect exactly the way Jesus operated. See, God has the greatest authority of everything, and Jesus has that authority. And so he could understand. He wasn't heathen. He wasn't even a Jew. But he understood authority. And what did Jesus say? For I'm also a man under authority, you know, having soldier under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who follow it, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. You see, the wasn't anything that to do with the fact that he was a Jew or not a Jew. This guy was a Roman. So he was an heathen, if you want. But he understood one idea, one concept, the concept of authority. And he knew and believed that Jesus had that authority because he saw it when he was operating. He saw that when he spoke the word, things would happen. And so he connected to that truth, and that was the only thing. And Jesus said, you know, I haven't seen any faith like that, not even in the believers, or the believers of those days. To me, that tells something about how faith works, how we should operate in it, and how important it is for us to understand Jesus' authority when we speak in Jesus' name, what it means. It's not just words. Today, there is very little respect of authority. And, you know, and this is why the world is a mess. But the fact is that it's still there. That's the way the whole thing works. The whole world works. And it's coming the time when, you know, we are going to rule the world. The believers are going to rule the world when Jesus comes back and his kingdom is established. See, this is the establishment of the kingdom of God, which is based on kingdom authority, on God's authority. That is the highest authority. So, you know, when we say in Jesus' name, we are not just saying a formula. But we have to understand that we are not saying a formula. See, we can do it, you know, it's not just the words. Do you see what I'm saying? The word by themselves, if they are empty words, if you don't know what we are saying, means nothing. They do nothing. But when we understand what we say and we express those words to reflect or to express the things that we know and understand on a spiritual level, then there is power in what we say and we get the results. So when we say be healed in Jesus' name, it's not us saying it, it's Christ in us that speaks that truth because it's his authority that has been manifested. Somebody got it. You know, this is the important thing because it makes all the difference. Okay, it's not us that we are channels through which God works. So when we now, you know. Jesus overcame Satan. He won the battle. You know, but the battle is not completely finished because the world is still the way it is. Okay, he just started, but now, you know, there is our part to play. And we have to understand our part and the fighting instruction that God gave us through this word. And there are many, but we're going to see some, because this is, you know, our fight is nothing else than the exercise of our authority on the world we are around. As we exercise our authority, what we do, we do the work that God wanted to have done. We establish his kingdom. See, Jesus didn't come to make another religion. Jesus came to establish his kingdom. And in a way, you know, to a degree, the apostles understood, but they didn't quite understand it right. They knew, you know, the last things that they asked him, you know, when are you going to make your kingdom, you know? Well, they weren't, you know, Christianity became quite a bit of a religion, but, you know, there is a difference. You know, all religions end up in ism, Hinduism. You know, most of Christianity doesn't end that way. Denominations do. I leave that with you, just think about it. All right, let's move on to the battle. Yeah, field. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 6 talks a bit about that. It's not the only place, but definitely it's one of the places in which it shows some of the element in implementing this battle, the fight of faith that we had to do to overcome and to establish God's kingdom. And says there, you know, that my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that's the first things we have to understand. It's not our strength, it's not our power, it's his power. And so we have to be connected with him to be able to fight the battle. Okay. So in the power of his might. See, there is great power, there is great might. This is the greatest power of the universe that we are channeling through us. And says, put on the whole armor of God. And this is important. You see, we have to not operate in our own strength, not operating in our own ways, but operating through the way God, the equipment that God has given us. It's his equipment, it's his armor that we have to put on, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy or the strategies of the enemy. Okay, or the devil. You know, and this is, we have to understand those strategies. You cannot win a battle if you don't have a strategy and you don't understand the strategy of your opponent. So, there are some things that we have to know about the way he works. You know, he is not fair. He doesn't play fair. He is dishonest. He is deceiving. He has all these other things. And the way he operates on your weak point. So he waits and he has all the time. And he finds your weak point and gets you. And if you don't know how to, if you are not strong in the Lord, he just get you. Okay? So, we'll look at the strategies after, and so, you know, see that our strategy then is to really use God's equipment. And God's equipment is not a physical equipment. It's not a carnal equipment. Okay? It's a spiritual weapon that he provides with us. What does it mean, a spiritual weapon? Mostly, it's a question of a realization, an understanding, and an attitude that we have to have within ourselves. We have to know, we have to understand something. We have to connect on the spirit level in certain truth that give us this power. Okay? It says, you know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see, it's not the physical thing that is going to give us the victory, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual host of weaknesses in heavenly places. So the battle is bigger than the physical one. It's up there. Therefore, says, take all the whole armor of God. And goes again, you know, it was to reinforce that idea that is not in our own equipment, not in our own weapons that we can overcome. We have to use his weapons. And so stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. So you see, the first things that you had to do is to find out the truth, is to know the truth. It's important to understand the truth is in the word. My word is truth, Jesus said. Okay, so the idea is that you had the truth comes from the word of God, not just a word, is understanding what it means, understanding what is meaning with the word. So it's the truth that makes a difference. You know, you can quote scripture and get nowhere because you have the wrong understanding, or you distort them to a fit to your own theology and your own ideas. It's the truth that makes the difference. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that enables you to do the right thing. It's the truth that connects you with God. So you start right there. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we have been talking about the righteousness that is not our righteousness. It's the righteousness that we receive from Christ. It's not the good things that we do. Our righteousness is not because we are doing the right thing. Our righteousness is the state that we have before God. It's a condition that comes as the result of the fact that Jesus paid for our sins. And so, you know, no matter how messed up we are, you know, we depend on Him, and He provides, and He, you know, exchanges His righteousness for our messiness or sinfulness. You see, that we are connected with Him, and that doesn't mean that we are perfect. That simply means the fact that we depend on Him to be righteous. And our faith is not on the things that we do, because no matter what we do is always coming short of God's glory, but is depending on what He has done that is more than enough for anything we need. So we are righteous. We are the righteousness of God right now. As messy as we can be, we are still the righteousness of God because we depend on God. You see, that's what cleans you up, because you are not going to be able to clean yourself up any other way. It's His life that gives us life. We have nothing to boast about it. So, in having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that's the other thing. I mean, and this is really, you know, part of the truth that we have to understand, that the gospel of peace is the way we connect with God. Not only that, but talking about walking here and preparing us, you know, we had to be prepared for that, and we had to, not just for ourselves, for others, we had to communicate peace to others. It's God that makes peace with man because of what Jesus did. So we had to be basing ourselves not on any other formula or religion or stuff, but simply on the fact that we are standing on the fact that God wants to have peace with us. And this was the announcement of the angels when Jesus was born. Goodwill toward man, that He has toward us and we should have toward others. See, these are all attitudes, our whole position that we take spiritually, as not the physical thing. You don't go around repeating this formula. You know, some people, you know, the only thing you read this is to receive it, to meditate on it, to see, to check yourself up. Am I walking in the truth? Am I open to the truth, or am I trying to get the word of God to say what I want Him to say? You know, how do I feel about myself? Do I feel that, you know, I'm the righteousness of God, or am I feel that I'm a failure and a mess? Or that I'm proud about the fact that, I'm saved. Same thing. You know, there's nothing to be proud about. Do I have that intention there? Having, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So you see, our faith, your belief, the fact that you believe, what do you believe? You believe in the word of God. You believe in God. You believe what Jesus has done. You believe all these things, and you believe truly that, you see, not just words. You know, you know that this is the basis for you to stand against anything that comes against you. What Jesus has done is enough. What the word says is enough. And it's not reasoning. Is the truth. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the word of the sword of the, and the word sword of the spirit. So the helmet of salvation, the fact that you know that this, you know, what you have received, the way you have been set free. See, this is the realization of your being free and then seeing the deliverance that comes. See, what is salvation? It's deliverance. It's being set free from the other things that keep us bondage. It's the breaking of the bondages that we have. So because of the bondages that have been broken in our life, because of the experience that we had about what God has done for us, no matter what other thoughts come to us, it protects our thinking. Because we know that we were bound before and now we are free. That we know that we are different than we were before. That our thinking has changed. You see, the basic element of salvation is not what you see physically. It's that the way you think has changed. See, that's the what is repentance is the same thing. You see, you are saved as you repent. To repent is to turn around. That means you change the way you think. You have to think right to manifest right in your body. And unless you change the way you think, it's going to be you're going to be, you know, trying to do things, trying to get the law to work for you, but the law is not what we hope for anymore. We have to talk about that some more, some other time. But the thing is not the law that sets us free. The laws condemn us only. It's the Spirit that gives life. All right. And the sword of the Spirit. I mean, all these things are all connected together. As you can see, you can't separate. You know, these are spiritual things. So, you know, the sword of the Spirit, see, is an indication how you use the word of God. You see, you use the word of God to fight against the things. So the thought that you have, you know, against the things that are coming from the things that God says. So he said some things that are different from the reality around you, and you speak the word to break down that reality. And that's your weapon. So you are sick, and the word of God, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You are tempted, and the way Jesus said, you know, you don't live a bread alone, so I don't need to be dishonest about things in life. I can be doing the right thing and following God, and He's going to take care of me. All right. It's all based on faith. And then closes with something. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit. I mean, this is where it's become so important to understand. It's not just begging God for stuff. And it says praying always doesn't mean that we are really, you know, praying always, you are not there kneeling down and spending all your time on your knees. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say you have to spend 24 hours a day on your knees. It says you have to be always in a state of prayer within yourself. And you pray in the Spirit. So unless you get to the place where you know how to pray in the Spirit, you're going to just pray in your mind, and sometimes your prayer, instead of helping you, is going to produce more damage than good, because lots of people get themselves in a hole through their prayers that they make, because they pray not according to the Word, they pray according to religious ideas. Prayer doesn't always work, you know. When you pray right, it works. But when you pray wrong, it doesn't work. It produces more damage. If you are there confessing all the wrong thing and say all the wrong thing, your prayer is going to get you down instead of pulling you up. After you finish praying, if you pray in the right way, you should feel energized, you should feel encouraged, you should be stronger than you were before. Because you connected with God, and this is your source, the one that you from which you get your strength. Are you still with me? Good, good. So, praying, we you know the fact that you can be in a prayerful state. You can be in the presence of God no matter what. Because God is inside you, you don't need to go anywhere to meet with God. No matter where you are, God is. And because God is where there is, where you are, God's anointing is. You don't need to go look for the anointing of God in things and places or meetings. Hello? Sometimes I have to talk about the anointing because there are funny ideas about that. See, God's anointing, that First John says, that anointing that is in you. Is it? Another time. Okay, so understand this, that there is this battle. You know, it says, you know, be strong in the Lord, because you know the vials or the strategy of the enemy are there. Okay? Now you have to understand the way he operates. He attacks you, and you can expect that. Everybody is attacked all the time. Don't think, oh God, you know, please, there is no way. Until you are down here, that's his job. He's going to attack you. And you have to know and to be ready. Be ready. This is the thing. That one of the strategies you have to do is to be ready. See, he attacks you when? When you're vulnerable. When are you vulnerable? When you're tired. When you're distracted. You just caught up into the worldly stuff. When you are fearful. When you are angry. When you are confused. When you feel weak physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, whatever it is. That's the time when he comes and shows up. You know, even Jesus, you remember after he overcame all temptation, you know what it says? The devil left him to come back at the opportune time. Okay, he just comes back, and that's what he's going to do. And if you think that you're not going to be exposed to his attack, you're fooling yourself, because you're going to be, you see, that's the way you get uncovered. That's the way you get unprepared. You have to be prepared. How you prepare? You are watchful. You see what's going on inside you. You see, it's the inside that he attacks you more than the outside. The outside becomes manifested after when he has succeeded something on the spiritual level. So he's going to, you know, in the way he attacks you, the way he's going to work, the way, you know, when you are distracted, that, you know, it takes over, and you let him, and you know, and maybe you got time to get sick, and instead of taking a position right away, you're busy doing some other stuff without really dealing with the situation. Don't give up, but you know, the sooner you work, the better it is. Okay? So one of the things, the way it works, is to make you believe that what Jesus achieved is not enough for you. It's working for everybody else, but not for me. Or, you know, this time is going to be more difficult. What's why? Why is it to be more difficult than any other time before? You know, the way to think instead is, you know, I conquered before, I'm going to conquer again. I was healed before, I'm going to be healed again. It doesn't matter what's going on. If I had the victory, I'm going to have the victory again. This is right thinking. Because Jesus has won the victory, and so that's mine. And I believe in it. I'm going to give him glory by believing what he did. Okay? It's, you know, one of the things, you know, by not believing what you are in Christ, you know, the fact that he's, you know, his righteousness. The way is, you know, in him there is everything that you need. The, you know, the other things he makes you believe that he is so powerful and you aren't. Which is the lie, is the opposite. Okay. The other thing is, you know, maybe the promise is not true. Maybe it's not, you know, I don't know if I can count on that. This is the way it works. You can be victorious. You can have victory. You know, people is exposed to the truth. They know the word, they learn the word, but most of the people don't use it when they have to. I mean, they can be exposed to how to have victory, and less than 30%, I would say much less than 30% actually get victory. It is not because there is no victory there, it's because they don't do, they're not doer of the word, they just want to sit there and think that God is going to do it. See, we have a part we play. And so when we understand that we have a responsibility for ourselves and for others, then things change and we start getting results. Why? Because we take the proper action. We start doing what God says that we should be doing. We start becoming doer of the word instead of hearer only, deceiving ourselves. You know, the very moment when we know the truth and we don't apply it, we backslide. Because that's what backsliding is. You know something and you don't do it. So the more we know and the more we should be progressing, the more breakthrough we should have, the more each time we find out a new truth, we have to get new territory. But unless we apply that, start using it, that truth is going to do more damage than good to us. Because it's going to be a truth that we believe or we think we believe, but it's not manifested in us. See, every truth that we have to be manifesting it in our life. And then we are going to see the difference. Then we are starting to move. We are going to see that things are going to move very quickly. We have to take the time with God to deal with the issues. And when we know the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one that actually is the only one that can reveal to us the truth. You're going to see more about that next week because we haven't got there yet. But the word of God says very clearly that when we know, when we understand, when we see, we are going to be made whole or healed or whatever it is. But the fact is that many of us, we can be exposed to things and not get to that place in which we actually do hear and do see. Why? Because the only way to be able to see properly is to actually do it. See, it's in doing the word that we actually get the understanding. With that, we want to close for today. Did you get anything?
Yes.
So we want to, you know, we want to really progress, yeah. We want to break through. We want to see results. We want to see, you know, God's intention manifested in our life, and we want to establish his kingdom. Each person, each believer has that potential, that function. That's what God wants for us. Praise the Lord. Also, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and thank you. And we know, Lord, that that we have more than what we can ever imagine given to us. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we want to put the truth to work in our life, to be believers, Lord. That means people that have the word operating in their lives and producing the result you send it for. To be the channels in which you accomplish your purpose, both in ourselves and in the world around us. And so we just praise you and thank you today and ask you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit may give us revelation and understanding, that the eyes of our understanding may be open so that we may fully appropriate and manifest and be used by you in accomplishing your purposes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.